or we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And then 30 years later in the Gospel of John, as though this rather obscure, strange, and story all of its own from Matthew, 30 years later, this exchange in John chapter 18, only recorded by John, Jesus answered Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, the width and breadth of it. And we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. You have delivered to us your scripture, and not just to us, but all of mankind. And it's been no few years, millennium, that you have been speaking of your beloved King, your Son, the Lord Jesus, who we worship this morning, and have already lauded his greatness and his power and his supremacy over all things. Lord, we want to have our hearts again turned towards you. We pray that you'll anoint your word, even as it's read, as we read from Hebrews, sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, exposing the heart. Lord, we ask that your word will speak to us. So we commit the time now in your precious name. Amen. So as I mentioned here, we have between Matthew 2 and John 18, 33 or so years. Yet this one theme remains, what the wise men, the magi, the many thoughts as to who these men were, that's not our subject, but you can see they came from a far country. And they knew, we came to see him who was born King of the Jews. They recognized it. We're not sure how they came to such a marvelous revelation. But here are the Gentiles, I think, wrapped up in these three men, perhaps three, maybe 12. I personally think it was three. I'm satisfied with that. And then 30 years later, the Lord, and numerous times before, the Lord declaring about his kingdom. Now, this morning, we want to look at something about his kingdom. And how important this is. This is not a new theme in the scripture, of course. This goes back a long way. It's prophecies, the many predictions regarding his kingdom. But I want to make a little asterisk note here from Hosea. I have also spoken by the prophets. Now in Hosea 12, "But I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt." How many of us on this call, if we know Jesus, understand that when Hosea speaks of Egypt, he's including the Israelites and us Gentiles. We've come out of sin. We've come out of the bondage of sin. So this verse does not stand alone, as we understand in the revelation of God and its progression. And it was progressive over many, many, many years, many, many times in which Israel fell into great sin, even darkness, even wondering if they would survive another year. Yet God was faithful. He ever worked his purpose. Now the rest of the verse said, "I have also spoken by the prophets, have multiplied visions and given symbols through the witness of the prophets." So a little bit of what we're going to be talking about are symbolic, but there is a reality. These magi, when they saw this star, that was symbolic of something. And we'll touch on this as we go along and go back all the way back to where we have already touched out of Genesis and what Dan read regarding Jacob. So let's look now at the first thing regarding the probably one of the first mentions of this kingdom and the king. Now, why is this on my heart? Why has this come to me? We're going through great times of struggle and even darkness. The sun has been blotted out in some of our minds and hearts. Not the literal sun, but our expectations have, many of them have fallen to the ground. We are disappointed and we are confused. We need to remember, as all of God's people throughout history, And not just the last 2,000 years, but going back to all those who looked for a kingdom, who looked for a city. Now that stretches back to Abraham and even before. We need to remind ourselves of this great work that God himself is doing. And much to our surprise and shock, he not only does it in spite of us, he does it in ways we cannot predict. Known to God are all of his ways. He knows what he will do. So we need to always be trusting him, understanding that he will show us in his good time. But in the meantime, he will also comfort us, strengthen us, assure us, bring us into deeper fellowship with himself and with one another. So this is the burden on my heart. We're going to talk about just verses, only about a few that speak of this kingdom. Now, this prayer in Genesis 49 that's up on the screen is actually a blessing from Jacob regarding Judah. Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Now, this must have been a shock to the family of Ephraim, of Joseph, because Joseph was the one, not Judah. And yet here, once again, God surprises them all. Doesn't explain himself, doesn't enlarge much. But I thought it was Joseph. No, it's Judah. Now we have this distinct advantage of looking back, and we can see for them, it was a look of faith. Judah and who Judah, what would happen through this tribe was yet to be revealed. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Brothers and sisters, let's remember the lion of the tribe of Judah. His hand is on the neck of his enemies. Don't forget that. Your father's children shall bow down before you. In verse 10, the scepter, that's the royal scepter of rule, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. This is one of the first really contemporary, if you want to call it, the first mentions of a kingdom and a king. And strangely, it would not come through the line of Joseph. It must have confused them. They must have discarded this as the ramblings of their father, their elderly father. Yet we know that it was no rambling, it was prophetic. Christ was to come through the tribe of Judah, under the seed of Abraham, but it was Judah that God had already chosen. It was already in God's heart. Now in Numbers, we have another indication of this 500 years later. Let's keep this in mind. Great periods advance between these marvelous movements with many families coming and going, children growing up and growing old, having new families. It's kind of like our life, generation to generation. So between this that we read in Genesis and what we read here, 500 years in Numbers 24, and this came from the mouth of Balaam. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. This is the very star. We get our eyes on the star of the Magi. Let's not forget, the star is the Lord Jesus himself. I'm not questioning whether there was a manifestation, some celestial manifestation. Not only was there one, there should have been one. His was the greatest birth of the human race. But here Balaam, that rascal Balaam, that apostate Balaam, God gives him a marvelous symbol. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter, a ruler shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of the tumult, or those who make desolate. Listen, we saw some of that last week. We've seen it in the last year. Men can do a lot of desolation. We can do desolation. This should not surprise us. This is Adamic. It's almost natural. In fact, it is. Now we launch forward roughly 1,500 years now. Actually, yes, close to 1,500 years. Daniel, in the days of these kings, we'll not look at those kings, but we know Nebuchadnezzar's image. I think most of us are familiar with that image, gold and so on, bronze and the clay and the mixture of the clay and the iron that would not adhere to itself and so on. In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. Isn't it wonderful? God has never forgotten this theme. This is something that from the beginning, this scepter, this kingdom is something that God is ever working towards. He's not stopped. He didn't stop then. He's not stopping now. And he will not stop until his zeal sees it to its very end. And he puts his son in his rightful place. In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Now, this is something that is as clear as the language, the English language, the Latin languages, the Greek language can be. It will never be destroyed. It cannot be touched. This beckons to the Lord Jesus telling Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. It's outside the bounds and the limits and the destructions. It's above this world. I hope this encourages you, just that thought, as much as it encourages me in days that we are living in. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. You know, this is the problem with our republic, perhaps, as with any government. It's left to the next generation. And oh, how our previous generation cherished certain things of our liberties that no longer are appreciated by the current generation. Can I warn you a little bit? Can I prepare you about something? It's probably going to get worse. But this kingdom, the kingdom of the Christ, the kingdom of the Son, will not be left to other people. That is, it will be left. It will be unchanged forever. It will be settled. It will be firm. It will be passed from one generation as it has to the next, all by the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, who has taught each of us, if we know Christ, and everyone who knows Christ, how to love one another, how to bear with one another, how to go on, how to trust the Lord when we are suffering, how to trust the Lord when things are confusing, how to trust him, trust him, trust him. This is the rule, one of the many rules of the kingdom. The king is on his throne. It shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, I believe we're in this now. I believe it started as at the time of Christ's death. I know there are many who maybe don't quite see that, but I think the principle still stands. However we might think, Christ has come into his kingdom. Christ is Lord of all. He was raised from the dead. Stephen saw him standing at the throne at the right hand of the throne of God. So whatever our thoughts are regarding that single episode of when he will take the throne finally and completely, that's okay. That's going to happen. But I also think that the Lord, we're being encouraged that the Lord is in his kingdom now. He's ruling over all. And many times that king, the Lord Jesus, he does things in an unexpected way. Many of us know what this means. We've had personal things, totally unexpected. Is Christ still king? Of course he is. We've seen it in the last month, 2 months, something we did not expect. A year ago, this COVID hit. We have the privilege, if I could say at this point, we have the privilege in this generation to be suffering in a way that requires us to trust the Lord Jesus like we have never trusted him in our own lives, and maybe we haven't trusted or he's not been trusted by the church in generations. Again, in Daniel, I was watching in the visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. This beckons back to Revelation 5. One like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days and they brought him near before him. Little technical difficulty there. Then to him was given a dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. This includes the whole earth, all of mankind. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. What can be more clear than this? That the Lord Jesus is indeed, has come into and beginning to come into and will eventually fully come into his kingship. My kingdom is not of this world, he told Pilate. In Haggai, we're moving forward now after this is some, I would say less than 100 years after Daniel, probably 60 to 70, maybe 80 years later. For thus says the Lord of hosts once more, it's a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. Now we are familiar with this verse from Hebrews, but the Lord, we are told here, does some shaking in order to do something. And I think that's exactly what we are experiencing, and we will continue until we go home to be with him. We will still, I think, be witnesses to it once we are there. And I will shake all the nations. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is shaking the nations right now. COVID have been on every continent. There are 197 countries recognized by the UN. 197 have had at least one case of the COVID, including the Antarctic. He's speaking and shaking the nations, brothers and sisters, but there's a reason that they should come to the desire of all nations. Now, what is the desire of all nations? We can't spend much time on that, but I think it's peace. But peace can only come through the Prince of Peace. It can only come through his kingdom. It cannot come through the kingdom of America, our democracy, as much as we appreciate it, and no one more than me. No one can come to real peace through some other monarchy. They have been an abysmal failure. The desire of all nations is a kingdom where there is justice, righteousness, and peace. He will bring it. He will shake the nations to bring it. And that's what he's doing. He's shaking it. It's not the first time he's done it. There have been many plagues, many wars. The catastrophic wars just in the last century have cost the lives of hundreds of millions of human beings caused by other men. And I will fill this temple with glory. This morning, did you experience a little of the glory of the Lord filling his temple? Us? I hope so. I did. Listen, that's prepared me for tomorrow now. The rest of the day and tomorrow, his temple, the temple of my body, has been filled with him to get through yet another day. Not just barely make it, but with praise in my heart that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The silver is mine. The gold is mine. You think it belongs to the oligarchs that are running our country or the world or Russia or China? Think again. God knows what he's doing. He's doing this in order to shake the nations. It's all his, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace. This is the desire of all nations. Those who want peace on their terms are enemies of God because they want him out of it. Well, we see the catastrophic outcomes of that. Let's move on, but we're going to digress back to Isaiah because, again, all the theme of, of the kingdom. And in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces. Actually, it's fatty pieces. The pieces they weren't allowed to have. A feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wine on the lees. Now, what is the lees? And I want us to focus on that for just a moment. What are the lees? It's the dredge of the bottom of the wine. When this shaking happens, the Lord is going to bring about a marvelous vintage of wine. Nobody uses lees to make fine wine. Nobody uses the dredges. God does. God uses this shaking, this thing that he does, and he makes fine wine out of his people. They come to realize, you and I come to realize, that my trust is in him, not in myself. Oh, may we learn this to the heart, to the core of our being. It may be the greatest lesson he's trying to accomplish before he brings us into his presence. We won't learn it there. We can only learn this lesson here. He will swallow up death forever. Isn't this wonderful? And the Lord God will wipe away every tear. The rebuke of his people he will take away, for the Lord God, the Lord has spoken. Well, we're going to wrap up here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? This great King that the scripture so lays out for us, and I've only barely touched the references to his kingdom and his person. Shall tribulation or distress? Do you feel in distress over what's been going on? I do. I'm so disappointed in many ways. The Lord's drawn me back to himself. He keeps doing it. Or persecution. Someone brought up persecution. Let it come. I say, let it come. Lord, you will, one way or the other, you will be victorious in the end, and you will keep me. Harm not the oil and the wine, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. We don't like that. We forget, brothers and sisters, that we're actually his sheep. And sheep, I used to raise sheep. Sheep, really, they have to be watched constantly unless you have a dog. You have to have a shepherd. They're easy prey. You and I are easy prey. We have a smart enemy. We have evil people. He knows what he's done putting his sheep in this world. He doesn't change us into lions. He leaves us sheep. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. But he's also the shepherd. So let's remember this. He's put us here. He intends to keep us until he's done. And he intends to keep us while we are here, no matter what we face. Yet in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's like salve to my heart. All these things, we're more than a conqueror. For I'm persuaded that neither death or life, life itself can be worse than death. I was so sad to hear about a police officer who was involved this last week, a police officer sworn to protect. He was so undone by whatever he experienced, he felt the only thing he could do was take his life. So now there were 5 dead from last week. 5 Americans, my fellow Americans. And he just couldn't take it. He took his life. Yet I got to tell you, not even life itself, the depression and the despair that life brings, does not separate us from the Lord Jesus, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, nor things present, nor things to come. 2021, who knows what's going to come? I'm hearing all kinds, oh my goodness, the voluminous, the hyperbole of what's coming in 2021. Remember, we're not God. We're men. We're men and women. God knows what he will do, but I know I'm hidden under his wing. Nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. In Luke 22, 29, he told his disciples, I bestow upon you a kingdom. Brothers and sisters, he's given us this kingdom. He's its king, but we also are its subject and prince and princesses. He's grooming us. Many of our brothers and sisters are already there, but we remain. Yes, sheep among wolves, sheep for the slaughter, but the Lord will keep us. He will do his great work. And then in Daniel, I think sort of echoes, or Jesus echoed this, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So may the Lord, we'll just leave this revelation, this verse in Revelation, and close now. So may the Lord really encourage us, brothers and sisters. We have such a king. We have such a kingdom that we are in. May it be something that is not merely something we learned in Sunday school that we've heard repeated 1,000 times, but may it be real, more real than ever, that I am a subject of such a kingdom. May the Lord do that great work. How grateful I am that he's doing it. He's doing it under pressure. He's doing it in spite of me. He's doing it in spite of all the obstacles. The zeal of the Lord will do it. So may we rejoice. Could we have just a prayer, maybe two, to close our time, please?